Bradford, and also on the recent feature-length podcast with Alan Coleman. As always, we are open to your feedback and your questions. Please do leave your questions on the Facebook page, which is Widnes Rugby League Fans, or get me or Mike on Twitter, or indeed DM us, some people invariably do. We may well do a second episode this week and pull in some of your questions to be answered, and then look ahead to the weekend's game. But for this one, we're going to focus on Widnes' latest defeat, unfortunately, against Bradford. And Mike, I know you were there at Oddsall on Sunday. What were your overall thoughts?
I think eventually, James, probably a bit of frustration, because going into the game, I didn't have a great deal of hope. You know, you've got three players making the debuts for Widnes. That's always difficult. And then obviously the challenge in front of you is a team spending a lot of money, NRL players, ex-NRL players in the team, a giant forward pack. And I thought we really let ourselves down them first two tries. I thought, you know, some real soft defence. They're not tries you want to be conceding at all. But then you're going at halftime 20 points to 18 ahead, and you're thinking, well, if your defence was a bit tighter, you're going into halftime with a heck of a lead, and, you know, giving yourself an opportunity of actually coming away and winning the game. But then second half, I think you said on social media, James, and I agreed, we wasn't really offering much in that second half. And when we had the ball in the opponent's half, we was coming up with fundamental mistakes. I think for me, the highlights of the game, I thought you could see what Jake Mason's going to bring to the team already. I thought he was busy all afternoon in attack and, you know, scored a try that straight away I don't think anybody else in our team would have scored. I thought Morgan McWhirter, I thought he brought off the bench something that we have been missing. Alan speaking about his leg speed and just bringing a bit more dynamic running into the pack, and I thought he went well, and, you know, it looks like he's got an offload in him as well. Thought Gav Bennion, I thought he had his best game in a Widnes jersey. But then you're questioning, aren't you, the fact of why has it took this long to get to that point? In terms of his performance levels, and yeah, I just thought players, like, there were some players at times in the game again where we just letting themselves down. One in particular, Liam Kirk. You know, it's just like when you're going into contact, you're looking at the opponent's forward pack running in with more intent than what some of our lads was, and he was one in particular. You just wanted a bit more from the guy's a unit, but, you know, his intensity of his carries for me questionable, and he's not on his own with some of that. So that was where I was disappointed. But, you know, yeah, it's just another loss, isn't it?
Yeah, it's another loss. I'm away at the moment, so I was able to watch the game on the live stream that Bradford put out every week, and I actually thought it was quite good. It was £10. I had no qualms with paying £10, obviously. But it was a decent production, decent camera angles. Obviously, Mick was on commentary. For all of his faults, I don't think Mick's a bad commentator, to be honest. He did make me laugh a couple of times with his famous old stadium, and you can feel the tension. And I actually think that the score flattered Bradford in the end. I thought Bradford were the better team. And I've seen some comments on social media from some, well, people purporting to be Widnes fans saying it was another dire performance. I think that's very harsh. I thought, as much as I don't think Widnes offered much in the second half, to be perfectly honest, but I don't think it wasn't a dire performance. They were just Bradford were just a better team. And ultimately it was only, what was it, 24-20 or something until they scored them two tries in the last 5 or 6 minutes. And like I say, on the commentary, they were talking about how hard of a match it had been, how tense of a situation it was when it was 24-20. I actually thought if Widnes could have held out a little bit longer, I was disappointed with the Souter try, to be perfectly honest. I thought, like, Joe Lyons fell off the tackle, I thought. And that, you know, you'd question why it was him who was having to make the tackle in the first place. But I thought that was a little disappointing. If Widnes could have kept in front for a bit longer, who knows? But I struggle to think of a time. The only time I can think in the second half Widnes got close was when Danny Langtree looked for all money like he was over the line, and Bradford managed to get bodies under him and hold him up. That was the only real time in the second half that Widnes really got anywhere near Bradford's line. And that was the disappointing part, I think. But I just think, you know, I suppose it's difficult. Losing at Bradford isn't a bad result. I think people get a little bit more carried away because Widnes are on a little bit of a, you know, well, they are on a bad run. I thought, as you say, the first two tries were a little disappointing, a little sluggish. And I watched Alan's interview on the club channels afterwards, and he acknowledged the fact that it was a sluggish start and a sluggish ending. I just thought they never got close enough to Jordan Lilley in the first 10 minutes. He was just, and Keyes, to be fair, I don't think they put enough pressure on either of them. And that's what led to a couple of them openings. I mean, the one where he just danced through, that was just, again, poor defending. But I was a little disappointed. You mentioned the three new players. I thought AJ Towers was excellent with the ball. I thought he was great at bringing the ball out from the back. Him and Reece Williams, to be fair, I thought they both carried it, especially in the first half, they both carried it really well. But I thought defensively, I thought Towers got caught out too many times. He jammed in for the Armitage try, and it's such a small pitch at Bradford. There's just no need to do that. And then I thought the two times he got dragged behind for dropouts, I thought they were poor. I thought they were both poor wing play. And I think if you're getting a player from Super League, I think you expect better than that. And I know he's only a young lad and he was at York and whatever, but I just thought there was one where I think he jumped and caught it and it was like, hit the deck straight away. You don't get dragged back. He didn't. He got dragged back. There was another one where I think he took it and tried to run it in. Didn't get down low enough, got carried back behind the line. I thought they were moments in the game as well where I thought that just piled a bit more pressure on Widnes. I think you could raise questions over. I mean, I think I missed the signing. He signed till the end of the season, I think. Oh no, he was on a 2-week deal, was he?
Think he signed till the end of the season.
If he signed for the end of the season, I think that's...
Which might be 2 weeks, by the way.
It's much better. He's there, you know, and it's his first game. I think I'd feel a lot better if he plays week after week than the current situation where at the moment you're sort of renting a winger and whoever you can get your hands on is playing.
And he's got, in fairness to the lad as well, he's got a bit of pace, hasn't he, about him? And Oddsall's not probably the pitch, so obviously...
I thought he was excellent at bringing it out yardage. I thought he was very good. And like you say, he was running it in a way that you thought he could break through. I just think there was those three moments in defence. But again, like you say, it's hard for the young players having to come into these situations.
One thing I'd be looking at doing moving forward to London next week, mate, certainly if you can get Max Roberts or Matty Fleming, obviously, back into the team. I know Max was 18th man, but I'd be playing Jack Owens at standoff. And my reason for that is, you know, people again getting on Gillies back, and I understand it to a point. I think some of the last tackle kicks are, you know, questionable, but everything is going through Tom Gilmore, and it's predictable. We need something different in there. So for me, I'll be looking at doing that maybe next week down at London to try and, you know, get a bit of a spark back into the attack.
I thought, it's Owens ran. I thought Owens ran some really good lines at centre, and obviously he got the try off one. But I'm 100%. I'd play Owens at standoff. I think I even said last year I would have played him at standoff rather than even signing Depp Patton. Obviously, Depp Patton's a big miss at the moment with the kicking game. I think you're obviously dependent on Max Roberts. I think if you could get Max Roberts back playing centre, like Fleming. I even think the kick for Mason's try wasn't actually a great kick. It was just Mason's effort for it, which turned it into something. I thought there was one kick. I think it was in the first half where it was just a fairly straightforward kick, but it was diffused so easily in goal, and it was like there was no excuse really to be kicking it and having it fielded in goal where they then get a 7 tackle restart. And it's just, I think there's just too many instances of them things at the moment, which is dragging Widnes down a little bit. Clearly they're a bit short on confidence as it is. And then when you're adding these little individual errors, I think it's just contributing to, you know, to the end result. I was going to tweet this at the time. I thought Danny Langtree deserved a lot of credit for the third try. The way he basically took a ball in from a standing start, you know, one of these drop-off balls that they do. He took it in from a standing start, managed to actually get a front foot play the ball, scatter a couple of markers when you're so close to the line, you know, and obviously Fozzard's great at them, picking them out close to the line and getting over. But I thought Langtree, how he managed to create the platform for that try was excellent. And it's just a shame that Witness never really did any of that in the second half.
He's been one of our better forwards, most consistent forwards for me, Danny Langtree. And, you know, we need some of the others to have a bit more aggression about them like that. You know, I'll go back to, you know, Gav Bennion, who, you know, I've not been particularly impressed with as far. But he was running a lot better on Sunday. And like I just said earlier, why are we waiting until now to see that, you know? And there's a couple of others as well. And as
to be fair,
the energy in Morgan McWhirter was really good. And I'd like to say, maybe end up being a bit harsh, I don't know, but I just look at some of our forwards and you feel that they're half running it in almost, and you can't afford to do that.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Bennion, because I actually thought exactly the same thing about it. It was his best game. He put on a big shot on Fulton in the second half. I thought Bennion did pretty well. McWhirter was okay. He's a bit of a, I don't know what the right word to describe him is. He's obviously not carrying. He's not a massive forward, is he? He's tall, but he's quite
more quicker than anything, isn't he?
Rangy, yeah. But I think that'll give Widnes some. You know, he's not that. He's not the sort of chuck him on off the bench and he runs. You know, he scatters them sort of player, which is perhaps what Widnes need at the moment. But I think he'll hopefully be a solid acquisition. But we'll have to wait and see. Like I say, I think it's easy to get carried away over losing to Bradford, when the reality is Bradford were the favourites to win the championship before the start of the season. Yeah, Widnes on paper lost by, what was it, 16 in the end. But I think the reality was it was maybe a 6 to 10 point defeat that just got out of hand. I think one thing I was pondering is the fitness side of things over the past.
Yeah, that's gotta be questioned.
Yeah, I think last season we almost saw it in reverse, where you felt if Widnes were in a game after 60, 65 minutes that they had something in the tank to push it and turn it around at the end. Whereas this season, I don't really see that in them. And I know that the club seems to change strength and conditioning staff every year at the moment. There's different personnel involved, and I assume that that's a, I don't know whether the Wrexham University thing's still going, but I assume it's to do with the funding that they get from getting students or graduates in.
There's that, James, and the other little bit of area which, you know, can kind of maybe overlap with what you're saying as well, is sides are putting us away in like 10-minute periods. We're having like 5-10-minute lulls in games where sides are going back-to-back, going bang-bang, and we're dropping below well par, certainly defensively. You think back to the Featherstone game, was it 16-0 down? Then you get to 16-all again at Bradford, 12-0 down. And the Featherstone game, obviously, they had two spells like that, one in the first half and then one, obviously, in the second half, which took the game away from Widnes. You think back to Batley, bang, bang, bang in the last 10 minutes. And it is a concern because you can work as hard as you physically can, but if you're giving sides 12, 16 points in 5-10-minute periods, you're always going to be up against it, no matter who you are.
Yeah. Like you say, you feared the worst when it got to 12-0, but Widnes actually rolled the sleeves up pretty well, I thought, to turn things out. I thought the penalty was quite harsh, to be honest, on Suter for being, they give him not square at marker off the play of the ball, but I think that was a harsh call. But then I can't remember, I think it was Ryan Lannan got done against Toulouse on the opening game. I remember being fuming about that one, and that was another similar one, bang on half time. So maybe they do even themselves out over the course of the season. No, go on.
I was saying that the performance on Sunday, it was very respectable. Like you've just said there, it wasn't. On another day, we could have won that. But for me, where the damage has been done up to now is previous performances, because realistically now you're looking at the table as it's shaping up and you're 3 points off 11th. Featherstone are only 1 point behind you now. And realistically, if you're going to be a playoff team, which was the target, whether people agree or disagree, that's where we're at. We're going to do it. Yes or no, the club, people like Stuart Murphy, Alan, and players when they're interviewed have said that's the target. You know, you've got to be looking at winning probably your next four games to keep up there. That's how it's going now. And two of them games are Toulouse and York. And if you're speaking about yourself being a top five, top six team, as difficult as these games are, going to Bradford, going to York, X, Y, and Z, playing Oldham, ultimately, that still, if you're setting them expectations, and that's the message to fans, these are the teams that you've got to compete with.
There's a lot of pressure on Widnes's run of games coming up, because London Broncos this weekend, but then 5 out of 6 at home after that. And I think you're now almost at the point where they've got to win probably 4 of them 5 home games, which is actually, when you look at the opposition that they're playing, they play Bradford, Toulouse, York, Halifax, even Doncaster at home, and then the only away game in that run is Oldham, who I would imagine will be looking to put one over on Widnes after what happened on Good Friday. I think part of the issue now Widnes have is they've not really got much room for manoeuvre, whereas perhaps if you played 3 at home and 3 away, you might pick up an away win that you maybe weren't expecting, and then if you lose one at home, it sort of levels itself out. Whereas you're now at the point, you're almost getting to that point now where if Widnes can't win, even if Widnes can't win 3 of the next 4, they're really losing touch with the top six. I don't think there's a great deal of danger of Widnes getting sucked into that bottom four, to be perfectly honest. I can't see that. I know some more I'm fairly pessimistic, but I know some of the more pessimistic people on social media have been fretting about that. But I can't see Widnes getting sucked into that bottom four battle.
I think we'll be jostling with Doncaster. I think Featherstone at the minute, you back them to go on a run and they'll be the side that makes the run for the playoffs, where I think then us and Doncaster will probably end up finishing in mid-table similarly, as I see it coming up, because as much as I want to, mate, and I don't want to be too negative and stuff like that, but right now I can't see us beating Toulouse at home and I can't see us beating York at home. And we are, I think if I'm right in saying, we're 3 points off York, but York aren't going to fall out of them playoffs. So realistically, you're probably 5 points off the team after. And that's a massive amount of points at this stage with the fixtures, with Toulouse and York still to come in that running.
It is, but I think Halifax are on a bit of a downward spiral now. They've had a couple of heavy defeats. So I think they'll probably get sucked into that middle battle. I think Barrow as well. I think as much as they've picked up 6 wins so far, I think they're now, I can't see them maintaining the playoff play. So I actually think you'll end up seeing maybe York will probably Oldham as well. I'd imagine you'll see Toulouse, Bradford, York will be the top three. Oldham will try and cling on to them. So then you've got them four. And then I think there's still 2 spots up for grabs, which hopefully will be include Widnes in that group of teams.
I back Featherstone to get there now. I think everything's like clicking for them. So I think if we are to get into them playoffs, I think 2 teams have got to fall out of the current group that's making the playoffs for me. That's just my thoughts.
Yeah, there's a long way to go, but yeah, it's not been it's been a stuttery season for Widnes, really, because at the start of the season, even when they were picking up wins, they weren't really playing particularly well. Narrow wins against Sheffield and Hunslet and Doncaster. The Batley defeat was a disappointing one and perhaps an early warning sign. And I suppose in the middle of that, you had a really good performance against Warrington in the Challenge Cup that perhaps enthused everyone. But since then, really, they've not offered a great deal.
No, and that's the concern for me. You know, speaking about going on a run to get into the place, for me to do that, you've got to be a side who scores points. I think if you score points, that generates momentum. It generates confidence. You know, it's great being gritty in defence and tightening that up, and we certainly need to do that as well. But your confidence comes through flair and playing with a bit of freedom. And I think, look, if we're going to do it, we things have got to start clicking pretty quickly. And I go back to, you know, Jack Owens maybe slotting into standoff now just to get a bit of share the workload off Gilly to offer us something different. Because you look at Jack, right, and he has been brilliant at centre. He really has. But you do want him on the ball more, because when you're close to the line, he's probably arguably the most dangerous player we've got in terms of picking out a final pass. And when things aren't clicking and you're struggling and he's in the centre, it is a little bit frustrating that you'd want him in the middle. If you're looking at a way where you can get more points into the team, I think you've got to have your more creative players on the ball and running with the ball. And I think as well, you probably see a more freed up Gilly as well, because I feel people, because he's obviously the senior of the two halfbacks, a criticism comes his way. But like I say, when you sitting back and watching it, everything's going through him. And if you're an opposition coach or player, you're probably analysing the game coming up and thinking, shut Gilmore down, and, you know, what else is going to come at you? And that's the key to the game. And I think sides are doing it well. They're doing it well and picking us off. So if we are to go on a run, I think that's what I'd be looking to do. And I think secondly, obviously, it goes without saying, I think if we're to do it, I think Jake Mason probably holds a lot of the keys as well.
Yeah, I think, I don't know whether there's been an update on deck pattern anywhere, on how long he might potentially be missing. But clearly things have gone a bit awry since he, not that Widnes were playing particularly well. Was it the Barrow game he went down?
Yeah.
With his ankle injury. So Widnes had only really lost a couple at that point. They've only won one since Patton was missing, and that was against Hunslet. So maybe getting him back as well to provide some competition for places maybe might be one to look out for. The last episode of the podcast was a feature-length interview with Alan Coleman. This is the first one we've recorded since then. So, Mike, what were your thoughts?
Cannot the guy, in my opinion. He wants to succeed, and it was a really honest interview. I think some of the questions that you asked was tough questions to answer, certainly in a position that Alan's in. But I think he gave truthful, honest answers. I think obviously the standout was opening up a little bit more about the salaries that we're offering players in comparison to other teams, and how difficult of a challenge that can be. And I think also for me as well, you know, kind of opening up a bit more of as to why we went and chose Warrington as the dual reg partnership. Now, what I read out of that is ultimately we're not getting the players we was not promised but put forward at the start of the season. Now, look, I've said it already, mate, on this podcast. I wouldn't have done it because I wouldn't have gone with Warrington again, because any side can put any players in front of you before a ball's kicked. But we all know the dual registration, the loan system, how much the landscape can change. And we've had teething problems after teething problems. You know, even...
We were having the same conversation this time last year, weren't we, about the Warrington thing failing?
Yeah, exactly that. You know, what we've done it, it's not worked out. I'd be interesting to now see the vision, and maybe we're seeing it like with players like AJ Towers, for example, trying to bring in season long loan players, and how that looks for next year, and can we crack that? That'll be interesting to see. But clearly, yeah, we're not in a position to run with a deep squad, and as hard as that's to hear, that's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, the loan, we sort of touched on it a little bit with AJ Towers. As much as, yeah, they can be recalled in 2 weeks, at least if you've got a little bit of a commitment that they're going to be there, if they get recalled, well, they get recalled. But I think the issue that's being caused at the moment is you get a player 1 week and then he's not there the following week, whereas you need to know, really, that you've got that competition for places. I have sympathy over the squad size or over the recruitment. I still don't think the club's doing enough to support that. And I know that they've had a couple of things out last week, this new business club that got advertised. I've not seen a great deal about it other than what was announced. I think actually when I was interviewing Alan, they announced a new director. It's all well and good having new directors, but we need to hear some direction, if that makes sense. We're seeing a lot of new directors coming on board, and I hope that that's not a case of just getting some cash flow into the club at that time. I've been pretty vocal on how difficult it must have been this season with the way the fixture list runs and the amount of home games Widnes have or haven't had. It must be pretty stressful on the cash flow at the club when you're having to pay wages for that. But I think the pattern of things at the moment is you're seeing a couple, what's that, two or three directors now that we've had in the last Yeah, but we don't really hear anything of, well, what's the vision? What's the reason for that person coming in? With all due respect to the people coming in, by the way, because there might be a million reasons that they're coming in, but unless we're told about them, we don't know. Obviously, Matt sat down with me and we did a good piece a few weeks ago. I just hope that it's not a case of we're bringing new directors in because selling them shares for 10, 20, 30 grand, whatever it is giving us some working capital to get through the current season. Because otherwise, in 5 years, you'll end up with 25 directors and in even less direction than you have now. So that's the only thing that I was, that might be me being quite cynical, to be honest, but you're probably used to that by now. I'd be interested to know what the direction is. It clearly surviving is a priority. I think Roger's obviously doing some really good stuff with the community side, and I think Dave Rolt's back involved, isn't he, with the player development side and the pathway. And there's clearly good stuff happening in that area, but unless Widnes can get it right commercially and with the fans, and that means getting more fans in, getting fans spending more money, getting sponsors in, getting sponsors spending more money, it's going to be a struggle to have for Alan to grow it.
That's exactly right, mate. You know, all these things that you're listing and stuff like that, it looks good on paper and it's great to talk about, and you know, it's all good news, but at the end of the day, it comes down to generating money and getting fans into the stadium. That's the thing that's going to make the biggest difference when there's no benefactor. And the fact he's openly saying in an interview how you can go have a coffee with a player who you're interested in next year. And because where we are on the expenditure ladder, so to speak, if they've spoke to another club already, we can't compete with that at all. And, you know, I know money's not the answer to everything, but to get the players that you want and to make sure that they don't go to rival clubs, you need to pay them. And that is the biggest challenge. And, you know, growing them revenue streams and obviously generating money through more sponsors, that's ultimately, you know, what we need to see happen.
I think another problem that you have is this probably isn't going to sound too good in terms of exciting fans, but the problem that you have is there's no motivation. And I might be well wrong with this, but I just don't feel like there's a motivation for a board of directors. And I don't just mean Widnes, you know, I mean any club. What is the motivation for any board of directors to take a risk? I don't feel like there's enough of a motivation there, because ultimately it's not like you can buy your way into Super League anymore. You can't do what Derek Beaumont did and, you know, and slap a £1.5 million team or whatever it was on the pitch, blow everyone away and get up. You can't do that anymore. And although, even though Oldham have tried to do it this year, but I think if you ask them in the cold light of day, has it been worth the money? I'm not sure they would necessarily say yes, because the crowds are obviously better than what they were. But when you consider how much money they've spent and they're going to carry on spending, at some point they're going to get bored of doing that, because it's not as if they're guaranteed to go. If Oldham were to win the league next season, they wouldn't go up anyway. So I think, as much as we're critical of Widnes in some ways, I think on the flip side of that, you've got to be realistic in terms of, well, why would they risk putting themselves under pressure or, you know, stretching cash flow too much to sign more players to finish higher up in the league? Is there a motivation to do that? And I know, you know, and I know that's not what fans want to hear and stuff, but I think that's the reality of the situation at the moment.
I think personally, where the frustration with fans have come into now, and I think it's been everything that you've just said there is right. However, when we've been at Vips nights and the chairman stands on stage and is kind of giving the speech of, right, we've got to go one better next year, we've got to finish above, we've got to finish higher. Alan said the same. Players have said the same. You're feeding people into believing that. And if you're saying that, but then we're spending way off that, fans are going to be expectant. And that feeds into that.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with hindsight, great to be that enthusiastic. And that's what we'd all want. There's a realistic side to that as well. And when you are saying that in the public domain, so to say, are you delivering kind of half promises you can't fulfill with where we're at as a club consistently?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that's a fair comment. I think that's a fair assessment but at the same time, they should be saying that. I think as much as, yeah, we talk about what's the motivation, well, you might argue, well, the motivation is, regardless of Super League or whatever, you want to finish as high as you possibly can. But then when you've got other, I think actually part of the problem is other clubs. There should be a more realistic salary cap back in the Championship. There should be the cut-off date for negotiating contracts should go back to July, even to September, maybe. Whereas now it's, I spoke to a few, obviously I do a few bits for League Express, and I speak to the League One coaches most weeks, and they were telling me that, or one of them I speak to last week was telling me that because they've brought it forward to, it's actually December now that you can talk, because it's the same as Super League. And one coach was telling me that they'd actually signed a player. He'd not even played a game for them yet. And he was in the guy's office asking him, is he going to have a deal for next season? Because his agent was already offering him round. And he's like, it's February. You've been training with us for 3 months. You've not even played a game for us yet. And you're already asking me for a contract for next season, because that's how stupid the situation is. So I think you're almost stuck between a rock and a hard place. I think the chairman and the coach have got to come out and say, we want to finish in the playoffs. I think they have to say that, because otherwise people aren't going to go, ultimately. And the numbers are probably dropping off as it is anyway. But I do have a degree of sympathy with them in terms of the context of rugby league at the moment. But then at the same time, you could say, well, that's not going to change. So you've got to try and figure a way. Do I think Widnes are doing enough to get more money out, more money in via normal sports club means? No, I don't think they are. I think they could do things a lot better than they are doing. But I think, would it make a... Well, I mean, it would make a difference. But I think, is that the biggest issue at the moment? I'm not too sure. Even if Widnes were to improve the commercial side of things and get more fans in, etc., would they be able to compete with Toulouse, Bradford, York? I'm not sure whether they would.
Yeah, it's certainly a conundrum, mate. I mean, like, so you said quite a bit there. The one thing that I do wholeheartedly agree with in terms of the game as a whole is the contract situation. I mean, how on God's green earth, as a chairman or a head coach of any club, have you got of balancing your team and working within the best interests of your club if you've got clubs trying to sign players that haven't even appeared for you yet? I mean, again, that just feeds into the hands, doesn't it, of the sides that have more money. And that's probably agents pulling out statements and tricks to players in their ears going, I'm looking at talking you around for next year, and already I can get you a bit more over here. And then that's putting pressure on other clubs, and it just ends up being a mess.
And that's where not having a salary cap as well, well, basically there's not a salary cap because it's so high. That's where that has an issue as well, because if Widnes are recruiting their team and then some guy at Oldham's decided he doesn't mind writing off an extra few hundred grand, because there's no cap to what he can spend, really, if he's going head-to-head with Widnes for a player and he's like, well, actually, we'll just offer him an extra 10 grand because it doesn't really matter to us. Whereas if there was a realistic cap that was limiting to all teams, clubs would actually have to... You can get away with not budgeting at the moment, you know what? And I don't mean to keep using old as an example. They might turn around and say, right, we're going to budget 600 grand, 800 grand this year. But if they spend that 800 grand and then Zane Musgrove comes up, then the guy's just like, oh, I'll just write another check and that the budget will be 850 grand. And that's the, I think that's another issue that we have. And I think the reality, I think it's the, it's maybe a reality that we're going to have to accept. I have no idea what's going to happen in the next. We talked about a Widnes going to finish in the bottom four. Well, it might not actually matter anyway because they're on about merging Championship and League One anyway. So nobody actually knows what the format's going to be next season anyway.
And again, that in terms of recruiting players again is just absolutely, well, amateur hour everywhere, isn't it? Nobody knows what you're recruiting for yet again for next year. And by the way, we probably won't know for sure for another few weeks at least.
No,
it's absolutely crazy.
I think this was in the interview. I think, did I mention it in the interview about speaking to the Crusaders coach?
Yes.
Where they basically recruited their team last year thinking that if you won the league, you got promoted. And then they've changed the rule this year is the team who finishes top doesn't get promoted in League One. It's this top four will have to have a battle with the bottom four of the Championship. And so I think, you know, and as loath as I am to go back to it, I think this is why you can sort of sympathise with the Widnes approach of treading carefully, which I actually think is that's what they do. And I think they're being fairly responsible with that because you could spend a load of cash and not actually get anywhere, or someone moves the goalposts and you're not there. I think Bradford will feel the pinch, I think, in the next year or so. If they don't get into Super League, I think you'll see them cut back on some of the stuff. I think what they're doing now, they can't sustain in the Championship.
Do you feel they'll win the race for that? Assuming Salford are now...
I think London Broncos are going to be in.
You reckon?
That the noise that the people that I speak to seem to think it's pretty much done that London will be coming in for Salford.
That's a bit of a disgrace in my opinion. But...
Well, I mean, to be fair, London are next. London in the IMG score, London are actually, well, Toulouse are next. But then London are the next best English club. There's obviously a movement against the French teams at the moment. But yeah,
we are in a world of talking about promoting a side who at the moment should be getting relegated to League One rather than going in Super League.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just, I mean, to be fair to London, they got stiffed last season, so they probably owed one back. But I can't see how Gary Heverington goes there if they're not going to be in Super League next season. I think there's some questions about what might happen with the French teams. There's been some suggestions that it goes to 14 teams. And that's where, say, like the guy at Oldham, as an example, if Super League, let's just say, hypothetically, Super League ditches the French teams, goes to 14. So they're effectively looking for three new clubs. Four, if you count Salford, aren't going to be part of it. I think that's where spending money and having a bit of ambition gets you in that conversation.
Yeah.
So the Oldham guy, even though Oldham have been nowhere for the last probably 20 years, because they just happen to be spending a bit of cash this last couple of seasons and they've got some big name players, they've got a big name coach. If somehow a spot opens up for Super League, you can bet your life that they'll be throwing their hat in the ring. Like York like York will be. I mean, York's slightly different because they're probably not trying to be as flash with the cash as Oldham are. York have clearly got the women's games, obviously a big driver for them. Their location is clearly a big driver for them as well, with all due respect to Oldham.
I think they've done the hard yards over the last couple of years. I think that squad it's quite stable, and it has been for the last few years in terms of the key cogs and components within it.
Yeah, I mean, there's loads of you can debate everybody's suitability for Super League, in my opinion. Clearly, Bradford. If Bradford were playing at a proper ground, they'd be an absolute no brainer. If Bradford played at London's ground, then we wouldn't even be asking the question. It wouldn't even be a debate.
Well, they guaranteed you're getting good, healthy crowds, aren't you? Yeah. You're bang in the middle of the main source of playing pool. They're an area as well where, got to give them credit, the youth development, there's youth in the area that's consistently made its way through.
Yeah, see, I think, like I say, I think it's just unfortunate for Bradford that they are where, you know, they are where they are. I think if you look at York, I would always question the fan base, the crowds that they have.
Everything else is right at York. The stadium's lovely. The team on the field, the owner's right. Like you say, the women's team, it's just the crowds. And I think you could put £1 million more into them on the field, and I just don't see that core group of fans growing.
Yeah. And I think you look at Widnes as an example. The problem you have with Widnes is probably the finance, maybe, that you would say, is that can they attract finance? But then if you flip that round, if Widnes had Oldham's owner, for example, then all of a sudden Widnes would become quite an attractive. I actually think Oldham are a decent proposition for Super League with finance behind them, because they're in a good location. It's a nice facility. They've obviously got a bit of heritage there as well.
I think as well, it kind of ticks that Manchester area box, doesn't it? With Salford,
yeah, which they're going to lose when Salford, yeah, which they're going to lose when Salford drop out. But yeah, I just there's merits to. I think it's. I always get frustrated when people say, "Oh, they should be in Super League," or they should be in Super League, blah blah blah. Because I think you can make a case for there's pros and cons to every club. And it's just unfortunate that if you're on the wrong side of the coin when they flip it, you're not going to get in. And I've talked about it on this a few times now, that the focus really does need to become on how do you make the semi-pro comp, the championship, or whatever you want to call it, how do they make that attractive to fans? Because I think we've talked a bit about bringing it back to Widnes. You've got to give people a reason to spend. The ticket price is ridiculous, but you've got to give people a reason to spend £24.
Well, that's you've got to speculate to accumulate, haven't you?
Yeah, and
it's difficult when you're working with a low budget to do that, because you've got to be savvy, and where if you are going to take a bit of a gamble and spend a little bit extra, you've got to make sure you get it right.
Yeah, I think that's. I use the non-league football thing all the time. Non-league football or lower league football is thriving at the moment because people can go to the game. It's affordable. They can have a pint, which obviously you can't do higher up the pyramid. They can watch a decent level of sport, which that's what the championship is. Championship rugby league is a decent level of, you know, it's not like watching amateur rugby league. It's a decent level. But I think we're way off. It's almost like they're trying to be almost too professional, aren't they? And then they're losing the little bit of magic that's what should get people in, if that makes sense. And I think that's where clearly I don't know what the solution is, to be perfectly honest. But going back to Widnes for this season and for Alan Coleman, I suppose you can sense a little bit of frustration in Alan Coleman a little bit, because he's thinking, well, you know, we finished fifth or whatever it was last year, got the club into a really good place, perhaps didn't get the, well, whether he got the budget or, well, I'm sure, he would have wanted more budget, I'm sure, but it's not just about what Widnes's budget is. Widnes's budget could raise 50 grand, 100 grand, but if everybody else's budget raises 250 grand, you're behind everybody. And I think that's where the challenge comes in, is how can Widnes find a bit of a bump to get from where they are now to being able to compete with them. Other, like I say, the likes of Featherstone, who've got someone pumping some money in that doesn't mind losing it.
And that's what it ultimately comes back to. I'm not saying it's impossible. You can look at Barrow where they are, and obviously it was last year we did do it, but it makes it so much more difficult to do it on a consistent basis. There's one thing doing it in a one-off season, isn't it? You know, when through Widnes's serial underachieving ways of the recent past, you know, nobody probably put us in the conversation, including our own supporters, before the start of last season, and you do it. But then when you have done it, you know, people this season are treating you differently and preparing against you differently. So to be a consistent playoff team when you're not spending what everybody else is that's putting themselves in that conversation of being a playoff team, it's very difficult. It is extremely difficult. And, you know, that's why we do sympathise with Alan Coleman, because you look at Oldham, don't you? Like, I know we spoke about them a couple of times, but they've had a difficult few weeks, and then you blink and, you know, they've signed Elwer Apolisie, the guy from Warrington, Zane Musgrove, and we just can't do that.
Yeah, and that's it. I think this is what Widnes's seventh season now out of Super League, which has sort of flown by in some ways. And I think I said this on one a few weeks ago, is unfortunately at the moment, Widnes will never be as big as they are now. The way the trajectory is going, Widnes aren't going to be any, you know, the fan base is only going one way. The revenue's obviously only going one way. So to be frustrated about it now when you've still got some of this core stuff is a concern. It's not as if you sat there thinking, well, you've got a five-year. I know they touched on it last year with the IMG thing, mate. They had a five-year plan to get to the 15 IMG points, whatever. But I'm sure there's probably five, six, seven, eight other clubs with that same approach.
I think you're seeing it in a different way as well, like in terms of expenditure in the Championship, like we've been speaking about. I think you're seeing Batley at the moment. That's eventually caught up with them. And they're obviously spending less than what we have, but they've been up there punching above the weight. And you're seeing that side of things catch up with them, and it's very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, you look at like Toulouse. Realistically, if Super League comes off the table, I just can't see how Toulouse can carry on going.
And Bradford, it's not really worth a while either.
No, Bradford, I think Bradford's sort of the same. I think they could maybe strip down their operations a little bit, but I think they're, how many years have they got left doing what they're currently doing? York, I think they're playing the long game, especially with the women's side helping them massively in terms of their status. But, you know, at some point there's got to be a tipping point for all of these clubs where they can only go for so long. You know, the Oldham keep saying about Oldham, but the Oldham guy, if nothing happens in 10 years, he's still not going to be spending the same money he is now. He just isn't.
I've listened to one of his interviews going back to about a month or two ago now, and he's already frustrated about the home attendances having spent what they have. And when you're hearing noises like that, that's not it's not great, is it?
No,
thinking of the long-term future of a club.
And to be fair, and that's one thing you can't criticise Widnes for, is that I've never once heard anybody come out from Widnes and saying we need to get, why the crowd's not turning up, why is this not happening? Back in the old regime, you'd get that now and again, wouldn't you? Where, oh well, the fans, the crowds aren't good enough. The fans need to bring a friend along or whatever, and it was like, sort of preaching to the converted people who go in the games aren't the issue. It's talking to the people who aren't going the games that you need to get on top of, because that's what you need to, that's who you need to sell to.
Yeah.
And I think at the moment it's hard to sell, especially when you're losing as well. It's a hard sell. But
and I think just quickly, I think the position we're in now, and I suppose it'd be interesting to see, and I'd hope that this is going on and there's plans to do it. But if the result takes care of itself at London and we get a positive one, and let's hope we do, because it's certainly a more than winnable game for us. You know, going off that Bradford performance, I think if you can perform at a similar level and fix up a few things, you can go and get a win down in the capital. But then them three home games, then it'd be interesting to see. Let's give it a push and get some marketing going and get some things going on and see what kind of crowds we can get. And if you win the first one, it could build a little bit of momentum and swing it round. And we've not had, obviously, a consistent level of home games like you wrote the article about. It'd be interesting to see what we can do with three on the spin.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting point that you make about that run. Like you say, if you can get on a run, yeah, we've criticised the fixture list, but ultimately, if you do win the first one, you can immediately sell that. You can immediately sell, well, actually, we've got another home game next week. It becomes a little bit more of a roll on. But I mean, on the flip side of that, and I think I've seen someone comment this. I'm actually on the website now trying to book tickets, and you can't even book tickets for the matches coming up. You can book the hospitality, but there's no way of actually buying a ticket for any of them home matches, which just seems ludicrous to me, considering it's less than 3 weeks to the Halifax game. I just don't understand why they don't just put tickets for all matches on sale straight away. The reason why I was looking, I was just going to see what the prices was, because what I was going to say was, yeah, you can build that momentum for them three games, but I have seen a few comments on social media about this where, yeah, it's great you have three home games in quick succession, but then if it's £24 for each of them home games, it's actually a lot of money to, especially if you're a family, you've got a couple of kids, whatever. That's where it then becomes a challenge as well. So you almost can't win sometimes, but anyway, we hope this hasn't been too morbid. we will try and do maybe a bit more of an upbeat one later this week, but we hope you appreciate the reaction to the Bradford game and to the Alan Coleman interview. And if you want to get your questions in to myself and Mike, we'll probably try and record another episode this week to lead into the London game to give you something to listen to on the journey down to London. Mike, any final comments or thoughts?
No, just that when we do the predictions later in the week, that'll bring a few smiles and laughs, won't it? But let's just hope next week we can have a bit of a victory to speak about, because I feel like at the moment it's a little bit, we're trying to answer all the get all the answers to all the problems, aren't we? But
it's like when we restarted, didn't we? When we first started the podcast, they were on a terrible run.
Yeah, and you think, should we pack up and go home?
At least it's not our fault this time.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yeah, thanks everyone as always for listening, and we'll see you very soon.